Welcome back, comedy fans, to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information and subscribe at carlsoncast.com. Today's guest, we're on episode 110. It's Mr. Rich Voss, back for another go-round at this crazy merry-go-round we're on. Today's episode, of course, is brought to you by Sabori Cafe and Catering. It's Rochester's favorite spot for lunch and any of your catering needs. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Sabori Rochester. Also, of course, you know we love, especially this time of year, Three Heads Brewing. They're the makers of Rochester's favorite beer. Remember, do good things and always be kind. Now it's your host. His favorite movie of the season is, of course, Little Women. That's just a true fact about him. It's Mr. Vinny Paulino.
Hello, everybody. I'm glad you joined us for another episode of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Thank you for tuning in and viewing or listening wherever you may be. Big show today. One of our favorite guests is returning. I think you know him pretty well. If you're an Opie and Anthony fan, if you're a stand-up fan, this guy's been around and done a lot. It's Rich Voss coming back.
Fan of life in general.
Yeah, if you're a fan of life in general, you're probably not a fan of Rich.
Yep. But smarmy old man.
If you're tired of Rich Voss, you're tired of life. That's
right.
What I always say.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And if you enjoy Rich Voss's material, you're probably at your wit's end with
also
life.
Also tired of life.
Rich is great. We're glad to have him here. I actually owe Rich Voss a lot. Rich Voss got me my very, very first guest spot in a paid comedy club, in a really nice club. He hooked me up, got me my first 5 minutes.
That's who we have to blame.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all his fault.
Yeah.
Look at the empire that. He has built.
I knew there was something I didn't like about him. I couldn't put my finger on it.
Well, he's got lots of things he doesn't like about you, so
yeah,
there you go.
Yep.
Now, we're excited to have Rich in studio. We would like you to do us a favor today. We've had Rich in twice before. We've talked to him about lots of different stuff, but the text line is open today. So if you would like to text in your questions for Rich Voss, it's simple right there. There it is, 585-484-0265.
Give us a hand. It's the giving season.
It is the giving season.
Yeah.
It's also the getting season, and we're going to get out of here while the getting's good. But before we do, and we bring in Rich, we want to let you know that we have a big show coming up here New Year's Eve. John DeCrosta, his first time at the club. The guy's been a dynamo in comedy forever. He's going to be here for two shows New Year's Eve, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. There are some tickets still available. So if you're interested, make sure you get to carlsoncomedy.com and get those now.
Where would you rather be New Year's Eve than here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not right here, but like over there.
Yeah, you're not allowed in the studio.
No,
you can go into the main room and watch a show, but you're not allowed in the studio.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, we don't make it that much.
We could charge people $50 to come sit in your seat.
In my seat?
Yeah, they could take a picture.
Yeah.
Sure.
$50, like $50 selfies in Vinny's chair.
Listen, that offer is open.
Yeah.
That offer is 1,000% really open. If anyone would like a picture in my chair for $50,
yeah.
Sold.
Yeah.
Done and done. So we'll be back with Rich Voss in just a few minutes. Submit your questions. And for those of you who are listening to this, we appreciate you. Tell a friend, subscribe, leave a review. We really appreciate you on that. We'll be right back.
Morning, everybody. Got lots of cool shows coming up here at Comedy at the Carlson. Check out carlsoncomedy.com for more info. Still tickets available for tonight and tomorrow night with Rich Voss. We have Malcolm Whitfield, December 27th also. And on New Year's Eve with John DeCrosta, two shows at 7 and 9 p.m. Come hang out with us. And Tim Meadows on January 2nd through the 4th. January 9th through the 11th, Jimmy J.J. Walker's coming back. And Trevor Wallace on January 16th through the 18th. Also returning, we have Tammy Pescatelli on January 23rd through the 26th. And in the Rickles Room, Maddie Smith and Andrew Schiavone on January 24th. January 31st and February 1st, Jimmy Schubert. And Takara Williams on February 13th through the 15th. And on February 20th through the 22nd, Drew Michael. And Jade Catapretta, February 27th through the 29th. Joelle James on March 7th through the 8th. And Ryan Nymiller on April 30th through May 2nd. If you need tickets, check us out at carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY. We'll see you at the shows.
The Joel McHale Show. Hey, everybody. You joined us mid-conversation. Joining us in studio again. We're glad to have him back. It's Rich Voss. Brian, clap for Mr. Voss.
Am I the only one? You're not going to clap for Mr. Voss?
All right. I'll give
Jesus
him a clap.
Christ.
Thrilled as always to be here, Rich Voss, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. It's honestly our pleasure. It really is. You know that we love you.
It's my favorite podcast in this corner of the building.
Can we put that in promo material?
Oh, do you have to talk?
Yeah, that's, I do.
I do. It's the problem with this show. So, Rich, we've been getting a lot of questions from viewers for you.
Oh, here we go with these. Go ahead.
I got one for you. It's actually a pretty good one, and I'm really interested to know the answer. This one came from Corey Payne. He would like to know. He listens to your podcast, My Wife Hates Me, and he noticed that your daughter, Raina, is a bit rambunctious.
Yes.
And he wants to know, do you ever get any pushback from the schools over the things she says because she's like your kid?
No, she doesn't say it in school. She's a straight-A student.
That's awesome.
You know, and plus she doesn't want to hurt her meth business at the school.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she keeps a low profile, you know. I mean, her distributors throughout the school, we can't control them, but...
It's all about customer service in the end.
She's at home, she's like... The other day we were driving, this is true, I did on stage, so, but she wanted to go to Burger King, and I didn't want to take her. I didn't want to go, and she's fucking having a meltdown. And she, I would take you. I go, well, I don't need you. I have a car. And she's just crying and yelling. I go, we're not going. And she said to me, she goes, you're worse than Hitler. I go, Hitler didn't take 6 million people to Burger King. I'm just not taking you. She said, I'm worse than Hitler. Jesus. Thank God she didn't say Trump.
Right? This day and age, you know, there's a lot of comparisons to Hitler. I think people pull Hitler out a little too quick.
I know, and it just downplays, you know, Hitler.
Yeah. I think Hitler speaks for himself.
That name Hitler matches the atrocities of what he did in life. If his name was Sam.
Yeah. It wouldn't have the same punch.
As Hitler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
with a name like Hitler, you got to do mean things.
Are there a lot of Adolfs anymore? Do you think anybody actually names their kid Adolf?
Oh, I think that disappeared.
If they're hailing a cab, like
it's one way to do it. But I feel like, you know, you're not wrong. But the name Adolf was the first name. If his name was Sam Hitler, you know,
you would have thought he owned a hardware store.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Bill Johnson, that.
Yeah, we're going to Sam Hitler's car wash. Yeah.
We clean everything out, even the ashtrays. Thank you, good night.
Oh, Jesus.
The worst joke in the world. So how does it work in your house? Because I know you are of the Jewish descent, and I know that your wife isn't. Did you celebrate Christmas, or did you celebrate Hanukkah? Did you celebrate both? Did you do nothing at all?
We, Christmas for the kid.
Right.
My wife is an atheist.
Right.
You know, I believe in a God. I don't know what. She's an eight. So if we both die in a car accident, I'll be up there going, hey, she's on her own. She don't believe. We wouldn't be here if that bitch didn't grab the steering wheel anyhow.
Right.
But, okay.
They don't give you a plus one.
She's on her own.
Yeah. Eternal torment
this
for her.
This is between you and her.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do with me.
See you later, honey. Like, we just bought a house. We have so many bedrooms. I got my own bedroom downstairs at night.
She must be thrilled.
Well, both, because I come in late and I snore. But it's great because she'll come down, we'll have sex, and I'll say, listen, you got to go. I'll give her free CD as a parting gift and send her upstairs. Listen, here you go.
Please tell me you leave it on the dresser.
She's accumulated three of them over the last year.
I have six to choose from. Go.
You have a relatively new one that just came out, didn't you?
Last week.
Last week it dropped? Is it on Apple? Okay, awesome. I'm going to download it today.
When I Saw Hamilton, that's what it's called.
I saw that. I did see that.
Yeah.
Now, why did you choose to name your album that?
Well, I was on stage taping, and some kid's in the audience, and he's got his phone filmed. I go, you can't film me. This isn't, you know, I go, you want to film me? It's going to cost $25,000. That's what I charge to film.
Right.
So I go to the bouncer.
Joe, put the camera down. Do not film this.
I told the bouncer, I go, take him outside and beat him up. And then I go, you know, come to think of it, I remember when I went to see Hamilton, I brought a three-camera crew. And they go, you can't do this. I go, what the hell are you talking about? So throughout the show, I kept bringing back when I saw Hamilton. And then I called it that because I had that call back like four times or three times. To a, and then the guy who designs my artwork, you know, I talk about being a Jew. So he had me just sitting on a Jewish star, and I thought, okay, that's a cool album cover. Then I found out it's like Hamilton's logo.
Yeah, the Hamilton has a big star on the front of it.
Yeah, I never saw it, though. So the guy that did it, I go, oh, that's great. That's a good idea. Just, it's my silhouette on a stool, sitting on a star. And that's, it's basically like Hamilton's logo.
You know, I actually really enjoy that that's why you named it that. Because my favorite thing about your act, just my favorite thing about you in general, is you're one of the fastest, quickest-witted human beings I've ever met in my life. And I love that you went in with one plan. You had a little bit of improv going, and you're like, beautiful, it's the name of the album. I think that's like very much you. That sums you up pretty well. Yeah. Off the improv, I love it.
My wife's new album is coming out. It's called 3.5 Stars, which is perfect. Not 4 stars, 3.5 stars. And I'm doing an album now of like greatest hits, but I'm keeping it sparkling clean for the other network on Sirius, where they only play clean stuff.
That's pretty brilliant.
So, but it's going to be bits from the past that are clean. So I'll do an hour clean, and I'll call it, not dirty, not politically incorrect, not funny.
I actually really, really, really love that. It's pretty good. So, you know, you are on Sirius all the time still. I hear you on Raw Dog.
Yeah,
all
I'm on
the
time, a lot.
So it's pretty cool, though, that you're going to get on the other channel.
Well, I'm going to try to get on Laugh USA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got hours of clean stuff. I got hours, you know, I got material. But, you know, when you do an album, and you know, you could have 3 clean bits and 1 dirty bit, but the dirty bit always overpowers the clean bit.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, he's dirty. You know, you could do tons, and you talk about, you know, just a little ass rape, and all of a sudden you're a dirty comic. It's unbelievable.
The kids, these millennials.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that the way with everything in life now, though? It's like if you say one wrong thing, everybody just forgets about everything that you've said and done the years before.
It's just like I have a couple things going on in the business that are ready to pop, and they'll go back into your past 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Oh, you're fucked.
I know, because I had an incident when, and it's going to haunt me. I know it. When I was being delivered, I was kicking, and I kicked my mom in the pussy by accident. But now they're going to go, he's the guy that kicks women in their pussies. And I just did it.
Well, tell your mom to stop telling everybody.
Well, I didn't stop till I was 21.
Right, right. And see, that's always where they're going to get you.
Instead of handshakes.
Well, I know you don't like germs, so it makes sense. Yeah. Just that's a safer way to greet someone.
Pleased to meet you, whack.
It's just safe.
You, sir, are a charmer.
Oh, I remember twice I got stuck. It was horrible. I had to spend the day with her.
Oh, God. Let me ask you, when you are putting your set together, when you're putting together a set for like a club or something like that, do you like have
a set together?
Okay, fair enough.
Go ahead.
But do you ever approach the overall, like, say, an album or something like that with a ratio in mind of clean versus dirty? Like, do you ever try to figure, like, I need to do
this? I always try to keep it cleaner.
Yeah.
I always try to keep it cleaner because it's, you get more play. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I try to not to do crowd work because I know I can do it. I mean, the crowd work on Hamilton, I heard, came out pretty good. I wasn't going to keep it in. And the guy editing said, you should keep it in. I try to, I don't know. I try to mix it up from, I don't know. I just, do what hour I've got going around that time, you know. I try to take out, the crowd work, even though I do it well. But sometimes it doesn't work on a CD if you're not there or in the moment.
Because a lot of the crowd work stuff is like you're looking at someone and you're pointing out like, hey, you look like this, you're like that. And like it paints a visual in people's heads, but it's not the same if you're not looking at the guy.
Well, when you're doing it on an album, you got to explain. If you're talking to somebody, you got to repeat their answer.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you don't hear their answer on the album.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends. You got to listen to it and go, will this work or will it not work? And, you know, and I'm doing the material that I'm doing at that time, which is a lot, some of the stuff that's going on in my life or whatever, or, right. You know.
And if you're recording, you want to rely on yourself, not on somebody else to be funny in the crowd. You know,
well,
you
they're never going to be funny.
Well, you don't want to rely on somebody being a good foil or whatever, you know.
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, the idea of making an album is something that is mass consumption.
Yeah.
So what does the idiot in the third row have to do with anything at that point?
And the problem is, too, like, even with this, when I saw Hamilton, how I bring it through the whole album, you know, they just play a track on radio.
Right.
So you're not going to get, why did he say that just now when I saw Hamilton, if it's on the seventh track? But you'd have to listen to the whole album to get, you know, so if you're doing crowd work and you call back that crowd work on the guy or girl at some point.
On the CD.
It makes no sense.
Right.
Because it's only, without listening to the whole album, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, track three isn't going to help you if you haven't heard track seven.
Yeah. No, it could be the other way
I'm
around,
sorry.
You
I'm the
fucking dyslexic douchebag. Yeah. See, yeah, so that's why you try to, if you're doing crowd work, you got to make sure there's no callbacks to it. And
yeah,
putting
sure.
them in, you know. There you have it.
There we have it.
Next question.
Do you ever play any pranks on your wife? Or are you generally just verbally vicious to each other?
I'll hide behind a door and scare her. I love that. Scare the fuck out of them. One time I put, that one prank I put AIDS in her coffee.
Just a whole bottle of AIDS.
I put that in her coffee.
Who's that joke out of?
Oh, that was so funny. but no, just I scare them. I sneak in their rooms, or I'll crawl along the floor like I'm in combat, just to pop up on the side of her bed.
That's got to be disarming. I would freak the fuck out.
Years ago, I lived with this girl.
Yeah.
I didn't live where we were staying at her parents' house. So we had to sleep. I slept in her brother's room, and I heard her get up and go to the bathroom, and I ran into her room and hid under the bed. And then when she was laying down, I just put my hand up.
Man, if I fit under a bed, I would try that on my wife. That's pretty good.
Well, you can do it on a bunk bed.
Yeah. Nobody's let me out.
Not all bunk beds, but there's a few.
I saw this story and I wanted to show it to you because I thought you of all people would really get a good laugh out of it. This guy and his wife, apparently they have the kind of relationship where they're pranksters. They go after each other, a lot of stuff. And this guy, as a prank, decided to get a tattoo of his wife, but he got it of this picture. There it is. Put it up on the screen for me. Vin PC. Oh, that's the picture of his wife on an airplane.
Oh my God.
Falling asleep. We'll post it on the Carlson Facebook page.
Oh.
And then he got a tattooed on his arm. And she's none too pleased.
My favorite is the triple chins.
Look at that neck roll. It looks like a speed bump to her face.
That's out of Star Wars, what we're looking at right here.
That's a good tattoo.
It is a great tattoo.
Whoever did it did a good job. I mean, it kind of looks like her a little, not him, but it's good work.
Yeah.
God.
So
that's funny.
Is this something you would ever consider doing? I know you're a tattoo guy. Just mess with your wife? Or is this just like too far?
No, I'd put her name with a circle and a line through it.
Do you have that?
No, but I would if I was going to get a tattoo.
If I found a guy, would you get that tattooed? If I find somebody to come and do it, would you get that tattooed? Just Bonnie?
No, I mean, that's when you're divorced or separated. Circling along.
We have separate rooms. It's only a matter of time now.
No, separate rooms because I come in late and I snore.
Okay.
And it's easier to sleep alone than you know, than just people. I mean, I make noises and it's just, you get a better night's sleep. That's what rich people, headliners, do. They have separate rooms. I'm trying to get a separate, I'm trying to get a separate house. But
that's what my problem is. That's what's holding me back, is I still sleep in the same bed as my wife.
There's a lot more holding you back. I would go with personality first.
Okay.
Then work your way to, you're a very outgoing guy. Jesus. I'd have a better conversation with a tumor.
I've met some pretty talkative tumors in my time.
You met some what?
Pretty talkative tumors in my time.
Ugh, you add nothing.
Welcome to my world.
You add, Jesus.
He's your feature this weekend. Have fun.
I know. I might kick him out of the dressing room. I can't have that depression.
Just my general aura.
Yeah.
We could bring like a cancer kid or something and put him in there, cheer you up a little bit.
Cancer kid.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm cancer kid. Sounds like a superhero for a, you know.
Those kids are heroes, Rich. Those kids are heroes.
Hey, listen, that's the only charity I'll donate to is St. Jude's.
I couldn't argue. That's a great one.
Well, they're the number one most honest one, but that's the only one I'll donate to. And I'm not trying to say I'm a good person, but I do believe. It's just sad. It is sad.
It is. So is Brian.
Yes.
And
who's Brian?
Him.
Oh.
The guy you've been kicking in the vagina for the last.
I haven't. he picks me up in his car. He's making excuses. I have my wife's car. I don't care.
Exactly. I don't like her car, and I think other people don't like it either.
No, it's you. You could have, let me tell you.
Please tell
me. Let
them.
Me tell you, he could have picked me up in a rickshaw and I would have had a better time than driving in your car.
If he picked you up in a rickshaw, you'd have made it a block and a quarter.
Not if we were going down the hill.
Yeah, and then you'd run over him.
Yeah.
Be ejected.
I'd let you roll, then I'd catch up.
Always go back to the food.
I'll tell you.
I'm starving.
Are you really?
Oh, I'm so hungry. It's unbelievable.
Here's a question for you.
Go ahead.
From another viewer. They like to know what's the most you've ever spent on a pair of golf clubs outside of town, to renting a pair of golf
clubs? I don't rent clubs. I bring my own clubs.
Okay.
I just got a new set sent to me. $300 a club. That's what it costs.
Really?
They're top-of-the-line Callaways. Top-of-the-line. And...
$300 a club.
A club.
The gold or something?
It's unbelievable, these clubs. The Callaway, I don't know, they got a black, the back is black. They're amazing when I can hit them.
Right.
When I can. If I'm not all over the fucking place.
So, $300 a club.
Yeah.
What did you get Bonnie for Christmas?
No, they were sent to me.
Right.
What I get Bonnie, I bought her a pair of running shoes
uh-huh.
and a TV. For okay. her room, a new TV.
Solid.
Not bad.
And she looked at me, goes, a TV? And then she bought me, for the living room, surround sound. I go, what's the fucking difference?
Solid point.
What's that?
It's a solid point.
Well, she looked at me like, I got her TV. Like, well, we should have got that anyhow, you know, for the house. Which I spent probably $8,000 or $10,000 on new furniture anyhow.
Right.
You know.
So she's trying to tell you that the TV doesn't count as a gift because it's just something for the house.
Yeah, it's in her room, though.
It's not a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, my daughter got us a vacuum cleaner, a Dyson. But it's like getting surrounds.
A message to you, too? Would you clean up around here?
No, it's just in case Bonnie gets pregnant.
So it's got the hose attachment. Beautiful.
No, I put the whole thing in.
Oh, good.
It's one of them.
It also has the carpet brush.
Is there, do you know, you obviously you know a lot about electronics and shit. On my new TV,
right.
I think it's a Vizio. Is there a way to go into settings and turn the sound off in the TV so it just comes out of the surround sound speaker?
Yes.
There is?
Yeah. I just got a surround sound thing for Christmas.
Yeah, mine's on audio. No, I mean on auxiliary.
What are you having it plugged? Okay, this is fascinating. What do you have it plugged into the TV with?
What I have it plugged into the TV with?
Yeah.
A plug.
Right.
No, it's, there's the three that go into the surround sound, uh-huh. I think.
Like the red, white, and yellow kind of
thing?
Yeah. Deal? I'm going to turn you on to something.
And one goes into just the TV.
Right.
The black one.
Uh-huh.
There's four different ways to use this on the TV. There's Bluetooth, I think.
Right.
There's another one with just one wire to a real thin one.
It's called the optical cable.
Yeah, the optical cable.
And that's
cable.
What you want. Because that's the one that'll let you do that. It'll basically tie your TV volume to the stereo volume. So whenever you use the remote or whatever, or turn on, it'll automatically turn the stereo on with it, and it keeps them like in sync with each other. It's a really good one to use.
It seems hard to get them. It doesn't seem like they're going in to the...
Come on, Ross. Or Voss, you just jam it in there. You just jam
so
it.
So take, don't use it. If I plug that in, then on the surround sound, I got to go to optical because there's four different.
I'll walk you through it later. Let's not talk about it on the podcast.
I was going
to
say,
I don't think
we
need to set up audio equipment.
This is fascinating. Discuss,
like, what is this? Like a Playboy from the 70s? We're discussing stereo equipment? What are we doing? I'll help you fix it. I promise
how
you.
Can
I can
you
tell
you
how to do
at
it.
My house.
I'll show you exactly what you need. I might even have an extra cable. I'll hook you up.
I think we have. They came with the surround sound.
The optical one?
Yeah, it's real thin.
Yeah, I'll show you. I'll tell you what to do.
Can't wait.
You got it. You got it, Rich. Okay.
This has been electronics time.
This is
and then the TV sound automatically doesn't work. It goes right to the surround sound.
Yeah, it should tie them together.
Do you have to use the surround sound remote or can you use the TV remote?
You could use whatever remote you normally use for cable or TV or whatever. It should basically, if the remote control is set to control the volume, this ties the volume bar together with that. So whatever you normally use, you should be good.
You guys want to hear more about my wife's car?
Why at this point, I kind of do, to be honest with you. Like, I'm almost there.
Why are you sitting like a secretary from the show Mad Men?
Because that's my fantasy. No, this chair's uncomfortable, so I cross my legs.
Oh, you cross your legs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That, and he's a dandy.
Of all people...
I thought
you're the one person who didn't continue to make fun of me about that. Normally, people ask me that, I give that answer, and I get made fun of. But of all people, you just let it go.
Your legs look like they don't work.
It depends on the day, man. It depends on the day.
His legs, puppet, the rest of them?
His legs look like puppet legs. Like they should be dangling.
Especially if I swing one like this.
Should be dangling.
He's a little muppety.
Jeff Dunham's lap.
Oh, God. Not
I
Jeff
got
Dunham's
a,
lap.
Another text message from somebody who wants to know, Rich, would you please tell Bonnie to co-host an episode of Who Are These Podcasts with Carl? Would you allow that? Would you ever, like, would you be cool with that if she ever did it?
Wait, is that the one that went after me years ago?
They did the episode about your show. But apparently they're very big Bonnie fans.
They just did a segment about my show.
Did they really?
I don't know. But some rapper came after me.
A rapper
and
came
a
after
song, you? In a song, Droog. He did a thing on it. He called himself George Carlin, not Rich Voss or something. Look, is there a rapper, Droog?
There is a, hold on. Let me try this again. Rapper. So at least you got mentioned with Carlin.
Yeah. Wait, do you see the rapper?
I only see Droog is bringing up your old Droog is a rapper from Brooklyn.
Yeah, that guy.
Old Droog.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
You could go to his video. It's right in the beginning. You could play it up there. Let's see what he does because I didn't really understand it. The rap.
We can't.
What's the name of the song?
Copyright stuff, though.
What?
What's the name of
the song? You could play a huh?
What's the name of the song?
It's got to be his. Just put Jewish rap or something. Wouldn't that be in Google or something?
Jew thing.
Yeah, that one.
So here's the problem, though.
What?
I'm gonna play it from in here.
Hmm.
little boys just trying to get in where they fit in. Spitting over the same beats like rhythms. Waiting on that rescue out of poverty on the coast. Motherfuckers only staying alive to see many a dark day. Flights. You wanna get your life right? Meet me at 770 Eastern Parkway. Oh my bad, you staying loyal to who? All they do is eat dick and suck.
Wait, hold on.
Like you creepy ass Williams do. Let go my...
That was all they played on there. That's really weird.
She dressed up like a rabbi?
He's got Midas Yahu with him. You know Midas Yahu?
No.
Midas Yahu is Jewish. He's a Jewish rapper. So Midas Yahu does kind of dress up like a rabbi.
Is that, are these guys famous? Because I went out.
I would say Midas Yahu is more famous than old Drew. I don't know old Drew.
Is that all they played in the song?
Well, they're only giving me a 30-second thing because this is a Mac and it's on Apple. I'm trying to find it right now. But yeah, I don't see your...
It's on YouTube.
You know what I'm going
to
do?
Go to YouTube.
It's Hold on a second. I got a better idea. I got a better idea, Rich.
Well, I'm sure you do. Optical cable.
Yeah, well, it's better than your old man plugs that you're using.
They gave me them.
Yeah?
They came with it.
Well, if they gave you the optical cable, too.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Well, don't blame me, then. So, hold on. I'm looking up the lyrics.
Hold on, extra from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
he's a nephew of Anarchy. He's not even a son. Distant Man. Cousin of Anarchy.
I'm trying to find the lyrics here because I want to see if it mentions you. Because so what, you went after this guy? What'd you
no,
do?
Someone said that on Twitter. I didn't follow it. So, you know, a couple people said, "Oh, you, this dude came after you, this rapper." Then someone wrote that he said, I'm irrelevant. Then I looked him up. I go, he had 20,000 followers on Twitter. I go, I got four times as many followers as you. I go, whatever. And I just went and said something, but then no response to him.
So I can't find the lyrics for this thing anywhere. I'm sorry, man.
Apparently it's not a popular song.
Hey, so can Bonnie go and co-host?
No, I want to find this rap first.
Okay.
Where are these guys out of the ones that...
They just wanted her to call in. Just a phone call. No, just a phone call.
I don't care what Bonnie does, whatever she wants.
Okay. I'm just wondering if you would be upset.
But nobody knows these guys. How go on Twitter, see how many followers they have.
I don't think he does Twitter.
Why would he not do Twitter if he has a podcast?
Because he has lots of followers.
How many do you think?
I know that he gets really high up there on iTunes whenever he puts on a new episode. I know that. I'm just saying.
But that means nothing because if you don't even have to listen to the episode, you could just click that name and it, on iTunes. It's just like CDs. You don't have to buy the CD. You just got to go to it. Mm-hmm. And
I'm trying to find your...
Yeah, you got to find... I got to find this fucking... This rap guy.
Who I cannot find this video of the song either, even. So, obviously, a guy who is irrelevant
Irrelevant
rap.
Anthony Jeselnik loves
comedian.
The guy.
Who does?
Anthony Jeselnik.
He loves him. I probably just don't know him.
God, where is he?
All right, I think I got up on my computer. I mean, we're going to get thrown off of YouTube for playing it. Ha! There it is.
Yeah.
13 seconds in. Hold on. I'm going to hear that again.
But I'm more like George Carlin and you're...
More like Rich Voss.
That is a shot fired, that's for sure.
So what are you going to do? You going to make a rap? You going to go after this guy? What are you going to do?
No, but who came after me? The Jewish guy or the black dude?
I think it was the black guy. The Jewish guy doesn't really rap like that. He does more of like...
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's the black dude. So when somebody calls you on a rap, I believe the proper thing to do is for you to retaliate in song.
In the form of verse.
Yes. So... You want us to help you make like a rap video to retaliate against this guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you're dressed for it. You might as well.
Yeah, why not?
What's his name?
Old Droog.
Old Droog.
Yeah, I think that's how you do it. Or
I was so hacky when I left on Twitter. It was so hacky. I wrote,
my name is Rich.
No, I go, nobody knows, nobody listens to your crap. And I put little C, and then I put rap in capital letters. Like, nobody knows your crap.
Right,
your
right.
rap stood out. And I'm going, someone, some other old person has done something like this for years.
Don't you hate it when you reach that age where you do something and immediately you're just like, oh, I'm, that's an old person thing.
That's an old yeah. person thing.
Yeah.
But realistically, you tweeted at this guy. Did he tweet back at you? Nothing, huh? He just defames you in a song and doesn't respond?
Put my name out there.
True.
I'm George Carlin. You're more like Rich Voss. That's actually not saying anything bad. He's just comparing it. It's like going, I'm Richard Pryor. You're like Eddie Murphy.
Okay, that's exactly what he was doing there. Yeah, yeah that's exactly what that was. And not only that, what I really like about it is if that is the case, you called his music crap when he was complimenting you. I think that's on you, sir.
Someone's, but then again, I don't think he was doing it that way.
No, I don't think so either.
I think he was trashing me.
Yeah, I do too.
But the overall tone of the song seems
like I don't know this guy. So he must listen to radio. He must listen into Sirius. Like Norton show,
sure.
and heard me, hears me, so he uses my name, you know, whatever.
You just said Opie's name, and then you like backtracked really quickly.
Well, because they haven't been on the air right. for years.
When was the last time you talked to Opie?
Years ago, we don't talk.
It's been years.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I meant Jim and Sam.
Yeah.
You know.
I know what you meant. So, I guess my question is this then. At this point in your life, are you shocked that a rapper would just pull you out of the blue like that and like name drop you?
No, because that does mean I'm fucking relevant and fucking known.
Sure.
That some rapper's using my fucking name, you know.
Not as a compliment, though.
Well, but it's
any publicity is good publicity, Vinny.
Yeah, it's just
fair enough.
You know, I'm like George Carlin. I'm funnier than George Carlin. He's dead.
Solid point.
I still you are know, currently funnier yes. than George Carlin.
But
yes.
you're probably still not as, well, slightly more crankier than he is.
I don't know how to rap. I could do spoken word. Yo, Droog. What's his name?
Who cares?
Droog.
Yeah.
Yo, Droog. What's up with that? That's all I got.
Nailed it.
Remember how we were just talking about when you say an old person thing?
Huh?
Remember how we were just talking about how you, when you say an old person thing? Yeah, you did it again.
Nailed it.
What's up with that? I just bought a new hat.
You probably did.
You probably did.
Yes, you probably did.
It's been more than an hour. You did probably buy a new hat.
How many hats do you own? Like, you, every time I see a picture of you or anything, you have a new hat. How many hats do you have?
I don't know. I have more sneakers than hats.
Do you have a haberdasher that you frequent?
Yeah, it's online.
How do you buy hats online?
Haberdashers.
Well, not these. I buy the... My
like fedoras.
My fedoras online.
So you go online, you're like, that one will look good on me.
Yeah. Shoebuy.com.
Do you ever get one that you just
one more
send
time?
Right back?
Shoe, Shoebuy.com. Go to the hat section. Then I buy Bailey's.
Bailey's hats?
I have a Bailey's fedora.
Yeah,
it's the
good.
Only one that I've got.
Yeah, they're good.
You two pops over there with your Bailey hats.
I meant to bring it today, and then if you were wearing yours, I was going to put mine on to annoy you. But I forgot.
Just
it.
Talking is enough.
All right. As long as my work is done, that's all I care.
Okay.
About.
I'm looking for your hats here, Bailey hats. I want to find out how much these suckers are.
They're like $50, $60.
Yeah, I think mine was like $60.
Sometimes they have sales.
View all Bailey of Hollywood or Bailey Western. You ever thought of going Bailey Western? You ever thought about going cowboy hat? I mean, if you have a million fedoras,
nah.
Look at these things. You can pull them up on my screen. This is what Rich Voss does in his time.
Well, now I'd rather buy Jordans than hats.
Go back to it. There you go. Oh, man, that's crazy.
Look, but those are the fedoras. You got the other hats. They make great hats. There's like the one on the left. Well,
this is what
back.
Brian wears. Like he's a newsie.
I got those.
I got tons.
I got that
make
one
a left
on the
now,
left.
The black one.
That's
this one?
No, below it.
Yeah, that's the one I got.
No, below it.
This one?
Yeah. What are you, an epileptic? Move up one.
Ah! Well, he said below it.
Are you stupid? Go down now.
Oh my God! You two and the computers. And
next to the red one.
It's just
next
not
to,
working out today.
To the left, right here.
Oh the my left, God. Left of the red one. Left.
Nope.
No.
No.
Jesus Christ!
God. This You'll is the worst podcast.
Right there. You'll never pick the right door.
So let's see. What size are you in one of these?
Medium.
You're a medium. You want me to? We're gonna order this one. You want
no, I got that color. Go to let's see other colors.
They got a green.
No.
That'll look nice.
I have that.
Oh,
okay.
Hat shopping and TV repair.
I swear to God, I feel like I would see this hat in a bowling alley. Just some guy sitting there wearing that in a bowling alley.
Yeah.
With his sleeves
rolled
up. How
can you
out.
See that through the glory hole?
There you go.
It's not a busy bowling alley. You can look through.
I have all those hats, but
listen, folks, we covered a lot of stuff today. We covered.
Wait, we're not done. We didn't do an hour, did we?
Do you think I'm doing an hour with you talking about your stereo and your hats?
I'm just talking. What do you want to talk about? You name it. You're the one who's fucking running this thing and
right into the ground. Apparently,
steering it. All right. I've had many funny lines.
Yep.
I showed you that that rappers are coming at me.
Yep.
You know, I talked about albums. I talked about. Mm-hmm. I gave a lot of information.
I feel like you're defending
if you
yourself
had to pick
in a performance review.
The highlight of your career, the number one thing that you're the proudest of that you've done, in the many years that you've been performing. What do you think it is right now?
Today.
I love it.
I've done so many great things. I mean, shit. I wrote on 2 Oscars. I hosted Woodstock. Def Jam was the first white guy. I stood out on Last Comic. We made a fucking movie. Probably, Women Aren't Funny. But probably the best thing is Voss Roast. My roast is probably the best roast, hands down.
It's very
ever.
Funny.
It is very, very
VossRoast.com. It's probably one of the best roasts in history of roasts. And I'm not lying by saying that. It's just murderer's row of comics.
And that's because you're beloved by a lot of people, but you hang out with a lot of ball busters who are really good at roasting.
Yeah. I mean, Patrice's roast was great. All the roasts we do,
yeah,
always are good roasts because we're good friends and we know how to do it. So I have so many things. The roast, the movie.
You going to do another roast? Are you going to produce any more?
We were thinking, I don't know. It's so hard. It's so you got to get people that are all friends.
Right.
You know, and that are good roasters, you know.
If you had to pick someone who you feel like would be really great as a guest of honor at a roast, if you could, like, your dream person to roast, who do you think it would be?
You mean from, like, comics now or?
Whoever you want.
Well, I mean, I would love to. I think Bert Kreischer would be a good person to roast.
Sure. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely.
One, he's very likable, a good guy. Mm-hmm. He's a mess on every aspect in life. His friends and his crew out in L.A. are good comics. So he'd be a good guy. I mean, we've roasted Norton. It would have to be a comic, somebody. You know, roasting a non-comic. It's just not as fun.
Sure, because...
And they're... What they're going to come back with at the end, you know, the whole thing has been written for them.
Yeah.
So not
comic. As much fun. So, Kreischer.
He'd be a good guy to roast.
All right.
Who else would be good to roast? Sal would be funny from...
Impractical Jokers?
Yeah, he'd be fun to roast.
Okay. Alive or dead, not a comedian. Just somebody that you think you would have fun roasting.
Oh,
old Droog.
Nobody knows him.
Okay, it was a joke.
I know. So was mine. 20,000 people know him.
Oh, that's true.
That's how many followers he has on Twitter. You think he's as well known as Jay-Z?
I'm gonna go with no. I'm gonna go with a no.
Really?
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg. You think he's as known as Snoop Dogg? No.
No.
Oh well.
I'm not sure on these things. I don't keep up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
All right. I have a different question for you, Rich. just out of curiosity, and this is a question I try to ask everybody because
Hugh Hefner would be good to roast. Go ahead.
That is a good one. That's Hugh a very, didn't they do it? Didn't Comedy Central do a Hugh Hefner roast?
Oh, I think they did. Yeah. Oh, you're right. I wrote a great joke for that roast.
Yeah.
I go, they were going to roast Larry Flint, but nobody wanted to build a ramp.
You really are a freaking asshole. I love it. Okay. If you were starting in comedy today, like, let's just erase all the things that you've done. And now you've been to the mountain. You know what's up. And you were at the very bottom, and you had to climb the mountain again. How would you start? Where would you even approach comedy in 2019?
I'd get glasses, and I'd go to an alternative room in Brooklyn, and I would just not have punchlines.
Talk about what's upset you that week.
And okay. Shots fired. What is up with that?
I don't. Who knows? Every, you know, and listen, they have comedy rooms now that are safe zone comedy.
Oh,
rooms.
Yeah.
Oh, we
or
know.
Safe
oh,
space
we know.
Comedy, yep. Something like that. You know, well, really, it's not comedy. Comedy is where you're supposed to question authority or anything and give your point of view. Like, they're going after, what's her name? Harry Potter. What's her name? Rowling?
Oh, the author for Harry Potter.
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
For her opinion on somebody else's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a billionaire, and she won't apologize. And so, you know, if you people are attacking you for your opinion, you don't have to agree with everything in life. You know, you just don't have to agree with everything. You don't have to be mean. You know, if someone doesn't believe in this and you just live and let live, you don't have to agree with somebody.
Sure.
To be mm-hmm. nice to that person. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, so yeah.
This mentality you it's, feel is just affecting comedy poorly.
Well, it's affecting life because this culture's trying to set rules and standards for everybody to have the same
opinions.
And, you know, art, comedy, music is all free-flowing opinions.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want all the same comedy. You don't want to go in and see three of him. You barely want to see one of him. Do you see what I'm saying? So, but this culture wants you, they want to dictate what you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucking insane.
I think it's just everybody's in their own little echo chambers, and they just, anything that's different than their echo
like
chamber.
That's actually a solid point, but I feel like that both sides are very much in echo chambers.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Both are.
Well, people.
Way to spill your coffee.
A little bit. This way it won't stain if you put a little
of your saliva on it. Perfect. Yeah. You know, I got one of these Tide pens here you could use if you don't feel like licking your shirt. You know.
It's, now you say it.
Now you spit it out of shirt. Okay.
No, I just pretend I was. I just pretend
Joe,
I made 20. I just pretend I made $20. people are outraged if they're not outraged.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have something, you know, and like I've said this a million times, that's what's wrong with the internet. It gives people a platform that shouldn't have a platform.
Yeah.
Listen, I shouldn't do root canal. I shouldn't do things I can't do. I'm not a journalist.
Right.
I shouldn't, you know, and people, you know, nobody gives a fuck about your opinion.
I feel like the internet,
whether you like me or not, or like it or not. Go ahead.
I feel like the internet, in a weird way, has made people think that they're experts on everything. Just in terms of, like, you know, back in the day, people would say stand up. They just look at it and go, "Well, I could do that,"
yeah.
And they think they do it. It's the same thing with podcasting, with, you know, blogs. It's the same thing. All these people who aren't qualified just can do it, just because.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
thank you, Google.
Yeah.
You know, it just. Look, you know, shut up and enjoy. If you don't like it, do some research before you go to see that person or mm-hmm. that band or that play or that movie. And don't go there and go, oh, this isn't for me. Well, guess what? You didn't do any fucking research.
And that's the thing. Like, you don't go to a movie just because you're going to go to a movie and just walk into one. Maybe you do. But people do that with comedy. They have no idea who they're going to see.
And, like, you know, you don't sit in the front row of a music venue and go, hope it's jazz.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You know, but back to the...
That's Bonnie's line.
Because nobody ever hopes for jazz.
That's Bonnie's line. But I think Rogan did it, too. I don't know who did it first.
I heard it was Mencia. Now,
then it was Rogan's.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess the question still is, though, like, how would you start now? Like, I mean, is there, do you think that there's a good way for young comics to approach
first
things?
Of all, I see these guys in New York and girls, they're barking, trying to get people in rooms to get stage time, which is fucking horrible.
Didn't everybody have to do that?
I didn't do it when I,
Fired for your own show?
Never once. The way I started it was I booked comedy rooms,
right,
one-nighters, and I hosted them. And then other guys in like Long Island, Connecticut that were doing what I do, we would trade rooms. I would host theirs, they would host mine or whatever. And I made money right from the beginning. I booked I go into bars in my area, show, do you want to have a comedy night? And I produced them back then, and I would host them, and I would get these comics, and this way I met comics and booked great. I mean, I had comics, you know, I booked a one-nighter, and I had guys there, you know, and Joe Bolster, Dennis Wolfberg. These were big fucking acts back then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I had John Mulrooney, Richard Jenny opened for Mulrooney at a one-nighter. So there was one-nighters around Jersey, all over the country, right, probably. But
so networking was a big part of it.
Well, me, by booking them, I met these comics, and I stunk in the beginning, but I became friends and built and built and built. And, you know, I networked, and it became part of my life. If I wasn't working, I went and hung out somewhere that had comedy. I met my first wife at a comedy show. I wasn't even working. I went to see a friend, and she was sitting at the bar, and we talked. We went out, and... two kids with her.
Yeah.
So I produced my own show, which a lot of comics do in Brooklyn and New York and places, you know. But it got me stage time.
I think that the stage time is the most important thing, but what you do with it is even more so important. Because you could get all the stage time in the world, but if you're not working on your craft...
Well, you got to... Listen, you got to... There's all different types of comedy.
Sure.
Obviously.
There's yours. There's Brian's.
No, I'm not saying good or bad. I'm saying different.
Right, right.
I try to be as personal as I possibly can, or at least say this is my opinion or this is how I see things. So this way it makes it personal.
Right.
And then it's harder to steal when it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's observational, or you get a guy like Brian Regan, who's so funny, sparkling clean, Gaffigan funny, sparkling clean. Or you go to Stanhope, who's probably one of the best comics throughout comedy in history.
Yeah.
One of the best comics, you know, since day one, completely different than all of them. So, you know, Patrice, great comic. Me, great comic. But I can listen to anything Stanhope does.
Right.
Because he has such an imagination and such a different outlook on things. You know what I mean?
It's hard when you start out. Do you think it's hard when you start out to be yourself? Do you feel like people, when they start out, are looking at what's around them and trying to emulate?
No one starts out at Apple as a CEO. You got to learn. Nobody starts out at Boeing as as a top scientist there. Do they use scientists at Boeing? Yeah.
Not anymore. I don't think they do them anymore.
Not good ones.
They have like Brian's family. Designing
But you know what I'm saying? So you got to find your voice.
Yeah.
Some people know right early on who they are. They found their voice. Sometimes it takes years. Sometimes you never do and you're just whatever.
Right.
But I think, excuse me, I'm so tired. New comics have it tougher now with all this political correctness and all this just...
Is comedy in danger? Is it in real trouble?
Well, you know, no, because you're, that's like saying there's art in trouble.
They don't teach in schools anymore.
Hardly. They cut back in schools. But yeah. People find there's, you know, my kid takes music class at a place we pay. You're right. They cut back in school. There's still music in school.
Sure.
Still art class in some places.
I'm just saying, though, that like the arts, you know, aren't as valued as much as they used to be.
Oh, they will, though, in 20 years. You'll look back at a painter from now.
Oh, sure.
Or you'll look back at an author from now and you'll go, this is, you know, priceless.
Reflection of the times.
Yeah, and it'll be priceless. Right now you might go, this shit is horrible, but we're looking back at stuff from 20 years ago.
Right.
You know, going, oh, look how great this is, or look what this is worth, you know, or 100 years ago, or 50, or whatever. You know, you can listen to Eddie Murphy. 90% of his stuff stands the test of time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff now that they'll play. You couldn't do what he did then now.
No way.
You couldn't do it, but you still can look back and laugh and go, you know, it's still funny shit.
I'm fascinated to see what his special is going to be when he does put one out, if he puts one out.
I don't know.
You think he's going to write it, or do you think he's going to have writers?
He'll probably write it and have punch-ups.
Okay.
Have somebody helping him along the way.
Interesting.
I would imagine, you know, I would have somebody traveling with me or a couple people. Just, you know.
Do you think he's going to do clubs, though, to get ready for it? Or do you think he's going to just go out there and he's an actor? And
I think he'll probably go. Like, you can go to the Cellar now or the Comedy Store and they'll take your phones away or put them in those, whatever.
Yeah, they lock them up for the show and then get them back.
That's the only way he'll do it, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be some fucking writer in there or somebody that will start blogging.
All right.
I mean, Pete Davidson came out with a thing now.
Yeah,
the million-dollar lawsuit clause.
If you write anything or say anything, it's kind of cool. It's funny. But that's taking away freedom of expression from an audience member, too.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It's a two-way street.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I like Pete a lot. I think it's kind of funny. Sign this or don't come see me. Fuck it. I wish I had that kind of power to tell these cocksuckers to sign this.
Do you think people would just turn around and walk out if you did that?
Well, no. Who, me?
Yeah, if you did
they
that.
They would turn around and walk out without me doing that. Would just
Brian's once, opening.
Once I say hello, ugh. No, I mean... Look, he's a star now.
Right.
And look, when you become that big and a star, you do things on your terms.
Right.
You could do things on you don't see Ricky Gervais apologizing for shit. He doesn't need, like, he came out in favor of J.K. Rowling, I think, and they want him to apologize. He's like, fuck you. If people get upset, then I find it even more funny. You know,
yeah.
She didn't apologize, Jay, whatever. She's worth bill. So once you become, here's the thing. She doesn't need anything. Dave Chappelle can say whatever he wants on stage. You can't hurt him because he's not in movies. He's not a fucking, he doesn't have a sitcom. He's a comic that will sell out everywhere he goes. Everywhere.
He'd have to do something incredibly egregious.
But even still, look, Louis, you only hurt Louis in Hollywood, but he sells out
everywhere he goes.
So if you just want to do comedy and you're a comedian at that level, you really can't hurt them unless that comic does, you know, murders the front row. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, if a comic says something.
I know Chappelle might be able to get away with that.
You know, there's nothing because he has his fan base and he's so good at that you're going to go, well, that's his view on it or his opinion. Agree or disagree, you can hurt him.
Right.
in my opinion, and I think I'm right about that. You know, there's certain, you get to a certain level. Look, Pete's at a level, he can do what he wants. He doesn't have to even fucking go do stand-up. He's got, you know what I mean?
And that's the other thing about it. He doesn't have to. He hasn't even explored the movie paths yet.
I did a scene with him, and I watched him. He's good, man.
Yeah.
He's likable. He's good. He has, you know, he's got good tattoo work.
He sold out this club.
Yeah, he's got good tattoos, so I like him.
Yeah. Brian, do you have any questions for Mr. Voss?
I'm going to save him up for this weekend. So
lucky Rich. Four more shows this weekend at Comedy at the Carlson. Get your tickets right now. 585-4-COMEDY, carlsoncomedy.com.
I'm one of your best interviews. I am one of your best.
You're our most humble as well.
Who did you like when you interviewed
him? Oh, more than you?
Well, not more. Who did you like?
Who do I like?
You'll say everybody.
No, I wouldn't. Oh, there's people I don't ever want to see again. Let's see. Who do I like? Colin.
Yeah, he's great.
Florentine.
Very good. Florentine's
love Florentine.
He's on our tour. Oh, our tour. Creepswithkids.com. I'm so tired.
Vinny and I have not been asked to participate in.
We have a caterer.
I actually would very much like to go see that show because I have never had the opportunity to see Ron Bennington perform stand up.
We'll be at the Turning Stone.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm there.
Creeps with Kids.
I'll ask CreepsWithKids.com.
Creeps with Kids. This tour is amazing.
That's what I'm saying.
It's me, Florentine, Bennington, and Bobby Kelly. It kills from beginning to end. Nonstop.
I've been meaning to ask you on that show, who's headlining? How do you do it? You just
I host it. No, I host it.
Okay.
Florentine, then Bennington, then Bobby.
Wow. Okay.
And it's just everybody kills. Everybody. Right from the beginning to the end. And then we do a Q&A at the end.
That's awesome.
We do a panel. Deb Bennington hosts the panel, and he's so quick and good. It's unbelievable how quick he is.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Ron Bennington.
Yeah, he's great.
I'm a fan of everybody on that tour, honest to God. I'll go see it. I will 100% go see that.
Yeah, it's a good. We'll be at Turning Stone. So anyhow, name some good comics that, and Florentine, Colin.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who I really enjoyed having in here, who really told us some interesting stories? Thea Vidal. Had some fascinating stories.
Oh, yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
A bit scary, but she's cool.
Oh, yeah. I love the Broken Lizard guys.
Who's that?
Kevin and Steve Lemmy from Super Troopers and Broken Lizards. Yeah, I love those guys. There's a lot of people I love. A couple people I didn't like. Some people... I'm not going to say names. Yeah. There's a couple people. Not
some
always
people
the
just didn't want to be here.
Yeah. Well, like Rich. But Rich is like a trooper.
Yeah.
I love coming in here.
That's so nice of you to say.
Over the phone would be better. Or by you know, snail mail.
Correspond.
Like they play chess like that, you know.
Yeah. I'd get a game started.
Let's see who was good that came. Norton must be.
Oh, obviously good. Norton was great. He wouldn't do this show.
Yeah,
he didn't do this one.
No.
How about Bobby Kelly? He's
Bobby.
Good.
Bobby did it. Was love
fun.
Bobby.
He's fun.
Bobby's
good guy.
A great guy.
He's a great guy.
Now, one of the last times you were in here, I think, or he was in here. You called him in the middle of the show, and like we all had a speakerphone conversation. I doubt you remember that. Okay. So,
Creepsway Kids Tour. .com. Come this weekend here. Go there. Get my album, When I Saw Hamilton, on iTunes or one of my other five albums. Six albums. That's a good body of work for a comic.
Not bad.
You could also get Old Droog's album, Jewelry, that came out December 23rd on iTunes. If you'd like to hear the song Jew Thang, where Rich Voss is mentioned. You could get that as well. But most importantly, like you said, come see him this very weekend, tonight and tomorrow, here at Comedy at the Carlson. We're going to be back with the news with Ross, so stay tuned, everybody. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable, And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. You know, folks, when comedy news breaks, Ross Johnson...
He's the one might that broke it.
Probably broke it, yes. He might find out about it while
in
he Googles.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, in a couple weeks after it happens, as he Googles to get ready for this segment. It is
desperately
stand-up news with our beloved Ross Johnson. Ross.
Everybody. Good morning.
Ready? Wow us. Go.
Did you guys see Uncut Gems?
Not
actually,
yet.
I don't have any news. I'm just gonna end it by asking you about movies you've seen. So Uncut Gems was...
That's the new Adam Sandler drama.
That's the new Adam Sandler drama. Well, that's, you know, it's an Adam Sandler drama. So part of the story is the movie had been submitted to... The producers submitted to the movie to the Golden Globes as in the musical or comedy category, I guess because of Adam Sandler. I haven't seen it, so apparently this was weird, and the Golden Globes people were like, no, this is a drama. So Uncut Gems, it's been getting a lot of critical acclaim. Adam Sandler's been
getting
a lot of...
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Adam Sandler's been getting a lot of good reviews for his
performance. I actually very much liked Punch Drunk Love when he did do that drama movie.
It was good,
fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the one, I think that was like the one other movie that I can think of where people were like, oh, Adam Sandler, he can actually act.
He's very like soft-spoken in that movie, and he's actually very good.
Mm-hmm. But so interestingly enough, so this has been, it's been on a lot of top 10 of the year lists, et cetera, et cetera. Shut out at the Golden Globes. So the potential Oscar buzz, it seemed and may still be the case that Adam Sandler was sort of doing that comedy transition, like, I'm going to be a respectable actor type person soon.
I think somebody just screwed up. They must have just screwed up and submitted it, you know? Like, I feel like they have their own Brian Ball over there, who was told, we got to submit to the Golden Globes.
You got to send
it in. And then he does it, but he fucks it up.
Yeah. Don't make me an adjective. Don't do that.
Brian Balled it.
Don't do
Brian
that.
Brian Balled it.
Don't
so
do that.
That'll be interesting. I don't, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he winds up in the Oscar nominations anyway. But the not, you know, getting shut out at the Golden Globes is not a good sign for that. So Adam Sandler might still be comedy guy for
his
a while.
Career. Might have been Brian Bald.
Might have been Brian Bald.
Oh.
You look so legitimately upset. That's
I am legitimately upset.
Stop it. It's a joke,
you
baby.
And Vinny looks so legitimately happy.
Well, I mean, he's getting upset over just a dumb joke. Come on. Brian.
I like it when
Can
people...
I talk to Happy Brian?
Okay.
All right.
I like it when people just pay attention to me. So really, any attention is good attention for me. So that's the way you go.
If someone laughs awkwardly,
then read us the next shitty story that you found this morning.
Brian, here, we'll make him an adjective too. If someone laughs awkwardly and never gets to the point,
Ross
Johnson in it.
Ross gets to the point eventually. He just circles around the point for a while.
You're Brian and Ball my joke.
That's fine. Fair enough. Okay, so this is my... I like the... So this is my... This is an interesting complex, but it's my favorite story. So over the last couple months, and particularly in the last couple weeks...
Is this
weeks,
you? A picture of you playing dress up again?
That is absolutely... That's my New Year's Eve outfit.
Okay.
So, he's playing dictator.
So there's a one of the most popular shows in Iraq right now is called the Al Bashir Show.
We all know that.
Yeah, of course.
Come on, popular. Ross.
So the show's incredibly popular. It's a show where they...
Unfortunately, it was submitted to the Golden Globes under drama.
Under drama, and it's very sad. Yeah. So this is a comedy show. This is a comedian, former journalist. In Iraq, there have been major protests and a lot of drama and death, unfortunately, over the last couple months. Basically, protest against the government as created by the United States. People aren't loving so much anymore in the way that it's in the way that there are different power blocks among, you know, different religious groups and things like that. So there's sort of a mass movement which is not based on any particular, you know, it's not the Shias rising up against the Sunni. It's sort of a mass group.
Is it the
stand up versus the improvs? Yep.
I've been waiting for that street fight.
Been waging that war for hundreds of years.
The improvs are just annoying.
I'm ready. Come on, improv. Let's go.
We'll just wait a second while we cut back to Vinny. There we go.
Ruin my joke. Brandishing a bat.
They'll just pretend. They'll just pretend it's a dildo.
So this Al Bashir show has been a sort of a central focus of these protests. It's sort of like a daily show in Iraq. It's actually filmed in Connecticut right now because
Didn't want to die.
Didn't want to die.
Yeah.
But this show has been incredibly popular, and the guy's sort of covering the protest, and he's also sort of encouraging the protest in a lot of ways. But the picture you see on the screen is him doing the sort of – that's sort of his sketch of the government, you know, leader type person. So
most likely last photo ever taken of him.
There are a lot of people who are saying that the protest would not be happening right now if it weren't for this show. So
yeah.
Comedy can change the world. This is a very, you know, and we don't know how any of this is going to fall out. So I don't want to say this is 100% positive because there's also a lot of, you know, people are getting killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not good.
But, you know, still the power of comedy to change the world, you guys.
It's very real. I mean, if you look at even in this country, the amount of people who go to comedy news sources, like comedy shows for their news. I mean, The Daily Show, Bill Maher, you know, there's lots of shows like that here.
Comedy at the Carlson.
Yeah, the Comedy at the Carlson cast.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
It's a show, all right. Now, what else we got?
Okay, so just ending on a lighter note, wrapping up our year on a lighter note.
Dude, I can't wait to talk. I know what you're going to talk about. And it's on my DVR. I've only been able to flip through parts of it.
Okay.
But the first picture you sent me, I cannot believe. I want you to go onto my screen. Go to VinPC. I cannot believe in 2019 they did Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it. I lost my mind.
It was a really good. I have not seen the whole episode yet. I've got it DVR'd too.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood sketch. It's great.
The return of Buckwheat.
Yeah.
The return of the best one of them. He flubs his lines a lot on it, though.
He's beloved, and he nailed it. And people said he hit this out of the park.
Well, we've been talking about Eddie Murphy for, I feel like, at least six, or the last 6 months at least.
Honestly, 2019 is the year of his comeback.
Yeah.
Dolomite was great. Yep. This appearance, I mean, this is one television appearance.
Yeah.
And everybody was talking about it. Everybody is thrilled to have him back.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, and the Dolomite Is My Name is getting Oscar, but it was great. It was one of my favorite movies, you know,
I thought the Gumby on the news was even better than the Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
I didn't see the Gumby one.
Yeah, Gumby was
Brian's being a contrarian, Ross.
Was very, 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 I can't believe they got away with that. Like, it was just like, whoa. Well, anybody else would not be allowed to say that.
And so this was the highest, rate. So he back for the first time in 35 years since he's been on. They got 10 million viewers. This is the highest audience. This is the biggest audience they've had in 2 years. And again, actually getting good.
I'm just laughing, thinking about the Masked Singer Buckwheat sketch.
It's so funny. Keep going, Ross. I'm sorry. No, it's good. Well, and this is the thing too. So like he did Mr. Robinson, he did Gumby, he did Buckwheat, he did, you know, and some new stuff too. The reviews are actually good. You know, usually with SNL these days, it's sort of like, oh, so-and-so was on and it was fine and there was some funny stuff, but there was some bad stuff. I mean, this was like, people were like, and there was, as always, there's sort of a blend, but people really liked the episode as well, like, and thought he did a great job, and the sketches were well written.
God, Lauren is like, come back, please.
Yeah.
Lauren has got to be like, I will pay you however much, be a cast member, I don't care.
He took that shot at Bill Cosby in the monologue, which was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't want to get too into that just because there's a lot of Bill Cosby stuff you could do, and it depresses me. But yeah, he built a little viral moment by taking a dig, you know, the fair, well-earned dig at Bill Cosby, and Bill Cosby shooting back in the
mess hall at the jail.
Most unhinged way possible.
Through his lawyer.
Yeah, through his lawyer.
You know what the best part about that is, though? That he had to pay the lawyer to do it. Like, he got a bill to talk shit about Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, there you go, Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Not only did you get
burned. It's coming out of your commissary.
Not only did you get burned on national television, it cost you $3,000 to reply.
Right, right. You know, so, he's well done, Eddie.
So, as a little addendum to this, and this is sort of a fun thing / slightly sad thing. So, let's go to the next picture. Okay, so this picture, they did this sort of iconic picture of Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Tracy Morgan all showed up. Kenan Thompson's there on the end. They got this great shot of, you know, these people who showed up in the... These people. People who showed up during the opening.
Ross Johnson's statements in no way reflect the feelings of us at the Comedy of the Carlson Cast. Please send your... His comments are his own and his alone. Vinny and Brian had nothing to do with us.
Jesus, Ross.
Oh, I quit.
Thank you.
This is my last episode, everybody. Thank you.
I got this
iconic shot of some of the black talent. And, of course, Kenan Thompson is there. Some of the
some of the great black comedic talents of our
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. You can't argue with Tracy Morgan, Chappelle, Chris Rock, Eddie Murphy, and Keenan. You can't argue.
Right. So let's go one more picture. Let's go one more picture down there.
Oh, no.
So this is how the picture got mostly distributed.
Oh, no. Well, oh, no.
In fairness, Keenan didn't come out till the end.
Keenan didn't come out till the end, but the picture, the sort of the primary picture.
If I had to caption this, Chappelle's going, they're going to cut you out, Keenan. He's just
absolutely. So poor Keenan Thompson, who's had a 25-year career. Mm-hmm. You know,
longer than that. I mean, back to
when he was a kid.
Well, yeah, 25 years. Yeah, going back to
the Good Burger, the Nickelodeon stuff.
Yeah,
he
was on Nickelodeon's like Saturday Night Live sketch show, wasn't it? What was that called? It was they did a sketch show. All that.
Yeah.
Keenan and Kel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
whatever happened to Kel Mitchell?
Oh, we don't know.
He actually works at a Whataburger now.
Oh,
it's a really weird. Really nice. It's a really weird full circle.
I know he does. I know he does like comic conventions because he was at like RockCon.
I actually think he's a. I think he's a.
He does RockCon?
I think he's a.
No. Poor Ross is crying.
Oh no!
I actually think he's a writer. I think I read somewhere now.
Oh,
he's
okay.
He's a
writer. That's legit.
Yeah.
So I like how Ross just went RockCon and his eyes rolled to the back of his head laughing because he only goes to the good nerd conventions,
it's true.
Brian.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Would never be seen at RockCon. Keenan says. In response to being cut out of the picture in most places that has been shown, Keenan just says, "It's so very nice to see the love that's being shown here today. I really needed that. Glad you all see me. Last night was legendary, and I'm glad you all feel I deserve to be in it."
That's
meaning
about
some
the
version
way.
Of the pictures. Yeah. So.
Well, I think he's probably talking about the outpouring of love. People who were upset that, hey, why did Keenan get cut out?
Yeah, absolutely. And he was very gracious about it. And you know, I'm sending a little love to Keenan Thompson with this story because. I think he deserves to be in that shot. So.
Well,
and he was in some in some places.
I don't think you could argue that Keenan Thompson is one of the better things on SNL and has been for a while.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There's actually a great article. We posted it on the Comedy at the Carlson Cast Facebook page this week about Keenan's career at SNL. You might want to check that out. Obviously, find us on Facebook. I'm going to go ahead and say great episode today, guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why not?
Apart from the whole Rich Voss thing, you know.
Sure.
I'm just kidding, Rich.
Whimsical hats.
You can see Brian and Rich and Andy Kuhn this weekend at Comedy at the Carlson. There's two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night. Get your tickets now. Brian, do you have anything else you want to say to the crowd?
In one of the shows, I will not be wearing pants.
Nice.
But you're not going to know which one. So
what a lineup.
Buy tickets to
because
all
his
four.
Legs are that hairy.
What a
buy
show,
tickets
you guys.
To all four.
Buy tickets to all four.
What
good
a
call.
Show, you guys.
Yeah.
Good call. This is our last show of the new year, isn't it?
It is.
The old year.
The old year.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see y'all next year, and we appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Act right. We'll catch you next time.
Peace and love.
Nah.
Yeah.